Monday, September 15th, and what do you know? The San Francisco 49ers are 2-0. Mac Jones was officially impressive, filling in for Brock Purdy at quarterback, and this defense delivers a game-sealing play for the second game in a row. The Niners are 2-0, both wins on the road, wins coming with two different quarterbacks. I mean, pretty good start, all things considered. If circumstances matter, if timelines matter, go through all the anxiety of training camp, preseason, roster shuffling, Jake Moody, Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson, Brandon Ayuk, who can and can't go, too many rookies, blah, 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 blah. 2-0 is a real good place to be after 2 weeks of football. Welcome. It is great to have you here. As always, baby, we are brought to you by our good friend Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Oh, let me get my logo off of his face there for a second. My man Ike is something absolutely delicious waiting for you at an Ike's today. Get in there. You're going to be very happy that that sandwich basically goes to infinity. You can take it in any direction you want. If you don't believe me, go find out for yourself. If you've never been to an Ike's, you've got to go. And hopefully there is one coming to you soon if you have not been, and sign up for that Love Rewards program and you start earning free sandwiches right away. You get a free chips and drinks and chances to win when you are over on Ike's using that Love Rewards program. So make sure you sign up for that. I hope you're signed up to join us at the Dubliner West Portal. October 4th, we're going to be there at 4:20. We're going to have a great time. It's the Saturday after the 49ers take on the Rams on Thursday night. So we're going to be watching a little college football. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be having a good time. Might get some Ike's delivered, maybe some pizza. We're just going to be hanging out at the Dubliner, and I hope you plan on joining us at the Dubliner West Portal on Saturday, October 4th. If you're here in the Bay Area, if you like the Plus, you like the show, you want to meet a whole bunch of these cool people who are in the chat right now, come on out on October 4th. It'd be great to have you. And let me tell you, winner, winner, chicken dinner for me. I hit my sleeper parlay yesterday. I hope you did too, and I hope you check out Sleeper. You get a $100 deposit match up to $100 by using promo code Damon. Now, the link I need you to use is in the description of this video, so you go ahead, you click on that, use promo code Damon, and boom, you will be joining America's fastest growing fantasy platform that is absolutely, like, really well built. Well, wait until you check out Sleeper and just the user interface. It is easy, it is fun, it is connected, the stats, the real time, the live betting that they have, it's all very, very impressive. Check out our good friends at Sleeper, and we want to welcome them into support the program as well. Thank you very, very much for being here. Hit like and subscribe. Over the weekend, we went over 40,000 subs, and we want to get to 50,000 subs by the bye week. So we're going to need you to get aggressive. Like, subscribe, all those good things. Is it me, or do we feel like we have officially now met Bryce Huff and Mikel Williams? The rookie from Georgia, after a where was he sort of week one performance, you definitely saw him in week two. He was very good. Loved what I saw out of Mikel Williams. He looked the part. He looked big and physical, and he's making tackles behind the line of scrimmage, and just very impressive game number two after a sort of where is he number one. I'm going to tell you right now, Upton Stout took a big step forward from week one to week two. And Bryce Huff lined up way wide in the wide nine. I mean, he was on Frenchman Street. He lined up so wide on that game-deciding strip sack where the 49ers decided to put this one in the win column. Nothing to do but take a knee and sit on a win. I mean, Bryce Huff, that was fantastic. Nick Bosa was fantastic. Fred Warner was the best player on the football field yesterday, either team, either direction. He was phenomenal. Fred Warner was everywhere you needed him to be. He led the team in tackles. He has a big pass breakup in this game, and now has passed Patrick Willis for the most pass breakups, passes defended as a linebacker in franchise history. He has now forced his 16th fumble, which is number one in franchise history. Fred Warner was just awesome yesterday. He is absolutely everywhere at all times. And if we're talking about what else just jumped out to you, You're like, now forget about the notes. Just, you know, just go. What do you remember? What did you see? D. Winters. Like, are you kidding me with D. Winters over here? I didn't think that D. Winters was going to be anything other than like, you know, he's a good player who will make decent plays and he'll be about league average at the position. I did not think that like D. Winters is going to be one of those. He could be a difference maker. He is playing difference making football. So that was a really, really good sign. And again, when you need things to happen offensively with a backup quarterback, you normally say, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make life a little bit easier on our backup quarterback, and we're going to go with a run-heavy game plan this afternoon. And when you go into New Orleans, a run-heavy game plan is what you'd want. If you had Joe Montana, if you had Patrick Mahomes, the Saints are susceptible to giving it up on the ground. Yesterday, you didn't see an awful lot of success on the ground from the 49ers. They moved the ball. They respected the concept of balance offensively, but they did not dominate on the ground at all. And I don't think that this offensive line has the snow plows that is going to make this a run-heavy, all-the-time offense. What they are better at from an offensive line standpoint is pass protection in this game with the statuesque at times Mac Jones. They did a very good job pass protecting for him. And when Connor Colby came in for an injured Ben Bartsch, he was fantastic. I don't think he gave up a pressure in the game. So the Niners, I think, went in there with a game plan to run the ball more than they threw the ball. But then Shanahan is settling into the game as it's actually unfolding in front of him. And what does he see? He sees Mac Jones, you know, in spite of the 0-4 start, really get things going after that. And there was no doubt that Kyle Shanahan has full confidence in Mac Jones to run this offense. He asked his backup quarterback on the road to throw the ball 39 times. Now, I know that Mac Jones isn't your typical backup quarterback. This is a guy who's been to a Pro Bowl. He's still young in his career. He's not in the old man phase of his career or anything like that. So he's in a little bit of a different situation, kind of a unique situation. But man, obviously Kyle really liked what he saw, because he kept on asking Mac Jones to make plays, and Mac kept making those plays. I thought it was a good game out of Kendrick Bourne, who we kind of said was, you know, it's sort of like an old idea that seemed totally uninspired. Well, Kendrick Bourne came out and played well. Juwan Jennings with the single largest touchdown reception of his career. Ricky Pearsall continued. Jake Tongas continued. Luke Farrell, the first touchdown of his career. You know, when the Niners signed him, I'm like, this guy hasn't caught a single touchdown pass in the league this year. He's your backup tight end now? He's your tight end too? Well, welcome to the end zone, Luke Farrell. You might want to get back there. What the Niners were able to do yesterday is buy time. It was a stress test for the organization. They passed the stress test, and now they don't have to be stressed about running anybody back before they need to be back. And of course, we're talking about Brock Purdy. Now, we all know, as we talked about, there is an element of like, hey, Mac Jones can play so well, it actually becomes a little bit of a headache. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Let's see what he looks like in back-to-back weeks. I will say that New Orleans is a great first opponent. It'll be a little bit tougher with a familiar division opponent in the home opener against Arizona, but you got to like the Niners' chances. You got to like the Niners' chances, and you don't say, well, because there's no Brock Purdy, they're dead in the water. No, not at all. Not at all here. But as always, if you want to push things a little too far, ask your backup quarterback to do too much. Then all of a sudden, you've asked him to fill a bill he can no longer really fill out. So they bought the time that Brock needs to get back. They played very, very well with a lot of their twos on the field, and they haven't played a home game yet. I think that they're going to get better as the year goes along from a defensive standpoint, and they've gotten off to a pretty good start defensively. I think that this applies to the offense as well. I'm telling you, One of the things that we were talking about on Wake Up that we didn't even really get to at the end of the show, the question was, you know, said, who's off to the best 2-0 start in football? Who is off to the best 2-0 start in this league? I'm not saying it is the 49ers, but an argument could be made that under circumstances, this is certainly among the best 2-0 starts in football. And I'm not just talking about circumstances coming out of Seattle, but everything that brought this team to this season and all the offseason headaches that never go away and the training camp numbers game and the Jake Moody everything. Like, this team has beaten back its own injuries, the own bad vibe that they've kind of, you know, let permeate in a year where we said, yeah, they got to get rid of the bad vibes. I don't even know what he's saying. Good call, Damon. But thank you, Jason. Every now and then, we will make a good call here on the show. Thank you for making the call for being here. It is great to have you here on a Monday morning, West Coast anyways. We're here in our still 11 a.m. hour on the West Coast. And I'm glad that you're glad. It's great to have you here. Again, you could be anywhere today. You could be anywhere right now on the internet, but you're hanging out here with us. We got Fuji Simeon saying, I don't want to hear from the talking heads how injury-prone Purdy is after the Burrow news. How many losses does Mike McDaniel get before he's fired? I think Mike McDaniel could be on the streets by Halloween this year. Things are not going well in Miami, and apparently, you know, we all kind of have an audience of one, the person that you're working for. And apparently Stephen Ross is starting to lose faith in Mike McDaniel, so he might be short for South Beach indeed. Hey, Joe Burrow, kind of guy you're going to want to protect. I'm going to say the same thing, too, about Brock Purdy, kind of the guy you want to protect. If you protect them better, they're going to get injured less often. Just throwing that out there. Lucky Purdy's toe injury isn't as bad as Burrow's. Fuji again with another super. Thank you, Fuji. Yeah, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are now instantly in a whole bunch of trouble. They're thinking that Joe Burrow might miss 2 to 3 months of football here. From a fantasy standpoint, that's borderline catastrophic for yours truly, considering my backup quarterback is Tua, who I'm going to drop, and I need quarterbacks. I also had Austin Eckler, who's torn Achilles. I'm going to be hitting the waiver wire this week from a fantasy standpoint, and I invite you to join me too if Joe Burrow was your starting quarterback. Hey, maybe I'll pick up Mac Jones. You know, I don't know how long he's going to last in that role. As long as Purdy's toe takes to recover should be the right answer. I don't see him playing Brock out of favor. But at the same time, look, you kind of got a thing that's rolling here. So, you know, every week that Mac buys you is more recovery time for Purdy. You beat Arizona. Now you're 3-0 and Mac has won back-to-back games. Well, at that point, it feels like Jacksonville, give Mac Jones a bite at the Jacksonville apple. Having been a former Jaguar, you'd think that he would really want that. It'd be great if you could give it to him. You buy another week for Purdy there. Then you got a short week, because then it's the Thursday nighter against the Rams. Is Purdy back for that, or could Mac Jones actually play Purdy off of that in the name of an abundance of caution is going to have us back with Mac in week 5, and then Purdy comes back? Again, buying time is what Mac Jones has just done for the 49ers. And time is the one thing that you cannot get back once a season starts rolling. So, really good outcome in New Orleans, man. I mean, whatever your fine-tooth, granular criticism of the game, again, still some special teams leaving to be desired. How about Eddie Pinheiro missing his first point after touchdown? Was that not just on brand for where this team is at from a special team standpoint? Oh, God. Anyway. We got Fuji. Oh, no, sorry. We already did that, Fuji. Thank you. This is PWS saying, how do we convince Salah to never leave? Well, I'm glad you brought that up. PWS, I don't know if you're 2-0, if Nick Sorensen is this team's defensive coordinator. I guess you could say maybe Nick would have learned a little from last year. Maybe they are, but probably they aren't. I think that Robert Salah is a massive reason why the 49ers are 2-0. I think Sala is a level of confidence that just permeates throughout a young defensive football team that they are going to need to carry them through actually learning out how to play together, play around each other. They're learning their own tendencies in this league as much as they're learning the tendencies of how it all fits together, because they played so little because of the preseason. It's not used like it used to be. So I'm really impressed with the way it's coming together. And I think that Robert Saleh needs to be, right in the middle of the team picture with Kyle Shanahan. It's almost like it's a co-head coach situation. One guy is the offensive head coach. The other guy is clearly this team's defensive head coach. And the defensive head coach has won back-to-back games with massive plays from his guys. And Shanahan even said they don't use the word closers lightly. And he thinks he's got a closer in Nick Bosa, who was awesome yesterday. He thinks he's got a closer in Bryce Huff, who made his biggest play in a 49ers uniform yesterday. And then, of course, he's got the ultimate chess piece on the board, Fred Warner, who is just an A++ football player. Just A++. There's just, what criticism would you have of Fred Warner? Where does Fred Warner need to improve? I don't even have that answer. It's basically perfect. He is perfect in all directions. He's omnipresent. No matter where the problem is, he can get to it and he can solve it defensively. He is so special. So special. I saw this from Nick Wagner. Oh, thank you, PW, by the way. Oh, one more here. We got Excessive 03 coming in with a super for the Ganja Jar, saying Winters has big shoes to fill in Greenlaw's absence, and he's doing it. Warner and Winters are looking like the best linebacker duo in football. It is giving off these guys are monsters behind a young defensive line that you're starting to see come into focus here. So it is exciting, Excessive 03, with what you got playing behind what was this year's biggest draft investment, the defensive line. And again, hello, Mykel Williams. We didn't really see you in week one. We saw you yesterday. Hello, Alfred Collins, appearing more yesterday than in week one. Still haven't seen much of CJ West. As a matter of fact, I can honestly tell you, we haven't used his name yet. I don't know if CJ West has accumulated a statistic beyond an NFL snap count. I don't know if he's made a tackle yet. So once he joins the fray, I think they just continue to get better as the year goes along. And there's also this, and I'm going to be careful saying this because the last thing we want to do is jinx the Niners from an injury standpoint. But if this team can just pause the new injury becoming a reality for just a little bit, and I know that Juszczyk is in concussion protocol and Saran Neal's going to be looked at this week too, but there is a world out there where the 49ers are going to be the rare NFL team that actually gets to make the argument, we got healthier as the season went along. When do the 49ers get to live in that world? As the season went along, they actually got healthier because guys came back into the mix. I mean, Brandon Ayuk, the minute he shows up, that wide receiver room gets better. Right now, that wide receiver room has been a big concern of ours. Through 2 weeks, wide receiver room's been pretty good. And they don't even have DeMarcus Robinson in there yet. So, again, on the curve of did you play on the road? What are your problems internally? I think the Niners got an argument to be one of the best 2-0 starts in football, and they might very well be 0-2. If Robert Saleh had not been fired by the New York Jets last season. Guy's been fantastic. Guy has been fantastic. How about Upton Stout? Upton Stout, with all of those defensive linemen picked in the draft, of all the rookies, it is Upton Stout who collects the first sack in his career of this rookie class. I saw this from Josh Dubow. Josh Dubow said that the 49ers have now opened the season with back-to-back wins of 7 points or fewer for the first time since 2007. So that sounds good. But then I got to tell you that in 2007, they ended up 5-11 that year. So that wasn't a very good harbinger of things to come. But I can also tell you that in 2007, their head coach was not Kyle Shanahan. And in 2007, they did not have the type of schedule that they have this year. Again, every single win that they get to stack early on, especially with Brock and Kittle out, it's worth its weight in gold. It really, really is. As is Christian McCaffrey. You know, Christian McCaffrey is just Mr. I'm going to pick it up for you all the time. He scores his first touchdown in over a year for the 49ers. That was a very welcome sight indeed. Red zone success. Hey, good to have you back, Christian. I don't know if they're going to open up the running lanes for him the way that, you know, this team used to be able to win on the ground week after week after week after week. I don't know if that's going to be available. Didn't see much of Isaac Garendo. And I got to tell you, Brian Robinson is not very impressive. Not yet, anyways. I would have much rather have seen Jordan Mason stay. When I brought that up to Kruger, he said, yeah, but then you don't have Marquise Siegel. Okay. I like Siegel. I still think I would have rather had Jordan Mason. We saw a little bit of Isaac Garendo, not much, but we saw a little bit of Isaac Garendo yesterday. So he hasn't been totally forgotten about. I guess that's good. Again, McCaffrey now has 28 consecutive games when he plays with 50 or more yards from scrimmage. That ties Jerry Rice for the second most consecutive games with 50 or more yards from scrimmage in team history. Only Garrison Hurst, who did that 30 times in a row in healthy games that he was able to play, is on top of now both Jerry Rice and Christian McCaffrey in terms of just, yeah, man, you're going to get 50 yards of offense out of me just rolling out of bed. That's what I give you. Good win. That is a everybody on that team got on that plane feeling good, feeling happy, ready to come home. That was a really, really good two-week start for the 49ers. Factor in everything. I don't think you can be angry or upset at any of it. Really. I think the reasonable person has to look around and just go, yeah, that's good. That's good. We are not here for the swimsuit portion of the competition. This is simply, can she speak in full sentences? Can she walk in heels? Yes, congratulations. You're Miss America. 2-0, given the circumstances, congratulations. You're Miss America. For the first time in a long time, Kansas City Chiefs don't feel like Miss America, right? How about that? Kansas City loses at home to Philadelphia, their whole like circling the wagons, not in our house, only on a neutral field, only on a day where they caught lightning and we were kind of off. Did they beat us in the Super Bowl that loud, that bad? Look, it was a tighter game, obviously. There's no such thing as the Chiefs are out of this one, and you got to give Mahomes the credit for that. He made the plays with his legs when he didn't make it with his arm because he just that team is different around him. These do not look like the Chiefs of just 10 minutes ago. They really don't. Patrick Mahomes is 0-2 for the very first time as a quarterback, for the first time since his sophomore year of high school. That's how much of a winner that guy has been. 0-2 for the first time since his sophomore year of high school. Probably didn't expect that. There's another stat, by the way, that I saw this weekend spit out at us where I can promise you that if this were offered in Las Vegas, there isn't a human that would have bet on it on any odds. They would have just said, that's just throwing money away. That's just throwing money away. Knowing that the Indianapolis Colts brought in Daniel Jones to be their quarterback and he wins the job late in training camp, right? The Indianapolis Colts are the first team in the Super Bowl era to have not punted in their first two games of the season. What? The Indianapolis Colts are that team? It's not the Bills. It's not the Ravens. It's not the Chiefs. It's not Herbert's Chargers, who are playing one of the doubleheaders on Monday Night Football tonight. No. It's not one of these universally regarded awesome offenses in football. It is the Colts with Daniel Jones are the first team in the Super Bowl era to start their first two games of the year, and they haven't punted yet. Okay. I definitely did not have that one on the bingo card. Not even close. So, look, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to ask you straight up, what did you take away from the New Orleans game more than anything else? The chat is open. Niner Empire 101 says 47,000 followers. We made it. Look, we reached 47,000 over the weekend in the live stream of the watch party. So thank you to everyone who is one of the 47,000. But we ain't even close to having made it here. We need to get to 50, and we can't get to 100,000 unless we get to 50. So we got to get to 50,000, and I'd like to be there by the bye week. That's aggressive. That's aggressive growth. Let's see if we can do it together. Thank you also very, very much for helping me get there. The love and support that this community reflects to me is so appreciated. Thank you very, very much. Mike in Houston says, I used to broadcast Upton Stout's game in high school here in Houston when he played at North Shore. You could see he was a player then. I'm happy for him. Let me tell you, Mike in Houston, the first time I saw Upton Stout on an NFL field, I said, why did they draft a Smurf? Like this guy, you know, there's a certain height, size, weight, physical requirement that I think this position demands, and I don't know if he's got it. And that's when they were just running around in shells. The day they put the pads on is the day I understood why they drafted Upton Stout. Upton Stout has some serious scrapple in him, man. He has got the squabbles in him. He is, for a small dude, as physical a cornerback as you will see this early in his career. He is afraid of nothing. And so Upton Stout went from instantly being, why did they draft this dude? To, oh, okay. They drafted this guy because he's a killer. That's why they drafted him. So, Mike, it took a while for me to see it, but as soon as they put on pads and started hitting, I got it. And I got to tell you, Upton Stout week one, you know, C plus, B minus if you're being friendly. Upton Stout week two, A minus. I mean, he improved a full letter grade at least from one week over the other. I liked it. Sam Bruno Mike says, Puni power. Oh, it's P-U-N-I, not with a Y. But I hope that he is okay because he got a little rattled. He stayed in that game. But the 49ers, again, we're not opening things up in the middle. You know, you want to put that on Brendel. You want to put that on injured Barch. You want to put that on Puni, not exactly being 100% raring to go. There's a lot of that in play. Connor Colby comes in for an injured Ben Barch, plays very well. I wonder if we see much more of Ben Barch, given Connor Colby started all those games at Iowa. So normally you give him a chance to get on a football field, he doesn't play himself off of it. So we'll see. And Sam Bruno Mike says, that's it, man. Thanks for picking up what I was putting down. Yeah, I'm not worried about Dominic Puni. I just think he played a little bit banged up. And by the way, Trent Williams gave it a go yesterday. A little bit banged up. Played pretty well. As a matter of fact, do I have this written down here? I think I got this. Let me look for this right here. Okay. When Connor Colby came in, he scored 100% on 35 pass blocks. Total clean sheet after he came in. The 49ers pass block win rate was 80.8% against the Saints. It's the fourth best among all teams that played on Sunday, and it was their best as any 49er team has done winning pass block win rates since 2002. Yeah, we're going back to Lakin Tomlinson. So Again, good game. Good. Yeah, here's the thing. It's really hard to find perfect on a football field. I wasn't even bothering looking for perfect, given the team that landed in New Orleans that the Niners put on that field yesterday. With an imperfect roster, they had the perfect game plan. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be run like an antelope, but it wasn't. They put the ball 39 times in the air. 39 times. Backup quarterback. Let her rip. Just grip it and rip it. John Daly style of coaching. I mean, it worked. And I'm officially out of coffee. We got up for an early wake up. Now I'm out of coffee. I just drank a very grainy sip of coffee right there. Broken metronome asks a completely legitimate question. Is that because New Orleans defense is trash, though? Maybe. Maybe. I'm not dismissing that at all. I think New Orleans is going to have one of the top five choices in the upcoming NFL draft. That is not a very good football team. We'll see a better defensive football team, which just by the nature of being a division opponent is much more familiar with what the 49ers are, who they are, who Kyle Shanahan is, when Arizona gets here this Sunday. Again, division game, better team, price of poker is about to go up. I think the Niners got the chips to play with the Cardinals at home, for sure. 3-0 is absolutely out there. Then it's Jacksonville. Whether it be Mac Jones or Brock Purdy, you should be able to beat Jacksonville at home. So now you're off to a 4-0 start. Historically, 4-0 starts are, that's a neighborhood you want to live in as a fan base. In spite of what might be perfect or imperfect and what you don't like. And that's the thing. This is not about style points. You're not trying to please an AP voter early in the season with style points. Stack wins. W's rule the conversation. That's it. Stack wins. Niners are 2-0. This is a good thing. Broken Metronome says our weak spot has always been the O-line, so it was surprising to see MJ upright most of that game and not running for his life. Look, he got the ball out fast when he needed to, and targets were presented to him on deeper shots. Again, that was the longest touchdown reception of Juwan Jennings' career, and that pass was perfect. Hey, Dame, let's talk style points. How about the outfit of Jake Browning's girlfriend was wearing? I did not see the Jake Browning girlfriend outfit. Did she frost her hair like Joe Burrow did a season ago? That's when things started going wrong for the Bengals. You know, you never frost your hair. By the way, I've not frosted my hair. This is natural frosting. This is what happens when you get old. Iggy says, CMC was our best player by miles. That dude is a fucking stud, getting open running routes all over the Saints. He is so special. He is so special. Even when the game isn't really opening up for Christian, he figures out a way to open it up anyways. He is a Hall of Fame entity. He is awesome. He is one of the best running backs that has ever played this sport. He produces from the line of scrimmage in a way that only Derrick Henry has since Derrick Henry entered the league. I mean, I really mean it. Forgive me if you've heard me say this in the past. There are two guys who I knew were very, 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 very good, but I didn't quite get how good they were until you're seeing them every single game that they play. Kevin Durant. Again, you didn't have to tell me Kevin Durant was good. I got it. But I didn't realize how good until he was out here and we were watching him every night with the Warriors. And you're just like, dude, this guy's unstoppable. Christian McCaffrey. Again, Christian McCaffrey's highlight of him picking up that 2nd and 7 in the middle of the second quarter didn't make the highlight reel. He does that almost every time. You know, the guy moves the chains the way that Durant could get his 3 off on anybody. Very, very special player. Martin wants all to know that Browning's girl is bad. She a bad mamma jamma? Got some brick house tendencies? What was she wearing? All right, hold on. John Wallace, Christian McCaffrey, absolutely a man. And he may not go to the Hall of Fame right away, but there's no doubt that dude has got to be a consideration 10, 15 years from now, unless we get this Super Bowl. I think McCaffrey comes from a big enough family that matters to football to where he's not going to be the lost in the shuffle guy. I think his stats will be gaudy. But yes, if he has a Lombardi trophy attached to his resume too, he's in. Who the hell is Browning? Browning is the guy who came in for Joe Burrow yesterday. And broken metronome, I am now officially curious. So let me go here and just Google Jake Browning's. Oh, what do you know? It's one of the first things that comes up. Not Jake Browning's career, Jake Browning's stats, Jake Browning's girlfriend. Let me see. Do we have what she was wearing yesterday? I don't know what she was wearing yesterday. Her name is Stephanie Niles. Wait a minute. This has got to be it. Oh, she was wearing the bodysuit. She looked like she was going to go like ski jumping. Hold on. Let me get this one up here. Let me share this with you. The Jake Browning girlfriend experience. Look at that bodysuit. All right. Damn, girl. You got to paint that on. You don't put that outfit on. You paint it on. You know, all I'm going to tell you right now is that if I were born, blessed, a beautiful girl, I wouldn't have an OnlyFans. I wouldn't be giving it away like that, but I would absolutely be skin tight in a lot of situations. There we go. I'll tell you, man, if that's how backup quarterbacks are doing, you may want to raise a backup quarterback somewhere in your house. My goodness. Nice job. Stephanie Niles. Inside the glamorous life of Jake Browning's girlfriend and his stunning, I guess it's WAG, wives and girlfriends. What does she do besides keep Jake Browning happy? Either way, you can't, yeah. Is she a bobsledder? That's what I thought. She was wearing like a bobsledding outfit. Or what's it called? Skeleton? It's like when you're not even a bobsled. You're on an actual sled and you're going down the luge. Or skeleton is luge, but face first. Is that what that is? You're not on your back. You're on your chest. Either way. Way to go, Jake Browning. Strong. To very strong, if you don't mind me saying. And that's the way I look at the 49ers, man. Strong to very strong after 2 weeks here. Strong to very strong. Are they materially the best team in football? Not even close, but they don't need to be. You don't need to be the best team in football until a very special game in February. All you need to be as good as you can be to get a W each and every week, and that's what the Niners have been so far. So again, we're not going to be complaining about games that Kyle wins, especially games that Kyle wins with backup quarterbacks on the road. Mike Fuss says, I like Kendrick Bourne's return. It's nothing huge, but he looked good in a Niner uniform. I saw him blocking, being aggressive. Yeah, I'm right on board with you, Mike. Absolutely. That's Kendrick Bourne. I think I officially yawned when the Niners brought Kendrick Bourne back. I think we did a show about how uninspired that is. And I don't know if Kendrick Bourne is built to be an inspiring player. But a couple catches when they needed it, and there you go. Welcome back, Kendrick Bourne. Welcome back, Kendrick Bourne. Chef A working spicy. I'm late. Anybody messing with my puni? Hey-o. Thank you. I can't wait to see you. Chef A, I almost guarantee she's going to be joining us for a little Plus Mania. October 4th coming up at the Dubliner in West Portal. I certainly hope that she can be there. By the way, we want to remind everybody again, October 4th, West Portal, Dubliner. Join us if you would please for Plus Mania. Are we at 7 now? Again, I it's up to me to track these things, right? I don't even know anymore. Let's just call it Plus Mania. Back to Dubliner, October 4th, 4:20, Saturday after Niners and Rams. Join us there if you would please. Maybe we'll get our friend Ike to drop off a whole mess of sandwiches for us and kind of hang out. Wouldn't that be nice? That'd be fantastic. We could also order a little Original Joe's, just walk across the street and go get it. That's easy enough. And if you want to have some easy enough fun this fantasy football season while you're thinking about what picks you might want to make on any particular NFL weekend, by the way, this is what it looks like. Winner, winner, baby. Winner, winner, baby. Mac Jones under 10.5 rushing yards. Ka-ching. Chris Olave more than 4.5 receiving. Ka-ching. Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown. Ka-ching. Thanks to our friends over at Sleeper. And you can get a $100 deposit match up to $100 by using promo code Damon. The description of this video contains the link. Go ahead, right there at the top. Very first thing you see in the description of this video is the Sleeper link. Use promo code Damon and find out why this is the fastest growing fantasy and betting app in America. It is absolutely outstanding. Whoever designed the user interface for Sleeper should get an extra 50 cents in their paycheck this week. They did a phenomenal job with what they've done. It is a lot of fun. Check it out. By the way, it's a lot more fun to win, which I did this weekend. Let's see. One other NFL thing to tell you, and then as the week goes along, zoom in on a few more games that felt like they had some consequences attached to it. But if past is prologue, there were quite a few consequences handed out this weekend. There were 5 teams heading into week 2 that needed to avoid an 0-2 start within their own division. 0-2 division starts to start the year. Since 2022, the teams that have started 0-2 with both 2 losses being division losses, none made it to the playoffs. 8 teams have started 0-2 since 2002 with both losses being in division, and none of those teams have been playoff teams. The teams that were playing under that umbrella this past weekend were the Cowboys, the Giants, the Lions, the Bears, and the Browns. So the Giants, the Bears, and the Browns, if past is prologue, have all now been eliminated from the playoffs because they're all 0-2 within their own divisions. And let me just tell you, everyone kept on saying that the biggest coaching hire in the league was Robert Saleh coming back to the 49ers. You might be right about that. I kept on insisting, no, you know, it's Ben Johnson showing up in Chicago. That's going to be a big game changer. Nope. I was wrong. We're going to give him more than 2 games, but I'm going to tell you right now, start the ticking clock on everybody in Chicago once again. It's just, oh, that was embarrassing. How good did Dan Campbell feel, by the way? Just going, I mean, the Bears took my offensive coordinator, who everybody says was the genius of how the Lions played, and I'm just the idiot Dan Campbell who says things like,
doesn't matter if you have 1 ass cheek and 3 toes. I will beat your ass.
And then he hangs a 50 burger on the Chicago Bears. I'm seriously. The fucking Bears. You don't want to be a Bears fan. Unless, of course, you're talking about the California Golden Bears. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do Cal Golden Bears segment. It won't be long, but just listen to me. because there is a reason to be paying attention to what is happening in Berkeley right now. Cal is 3-0 with three double-digit wins, and they haven't allowed more than 14 points in any game that they've played. Well, who have they played? How impressive have their opponents been? Forget about that, because it's not about looking back to see who they're playing. It's about looking ahead and realizing who's not on their schedule. Cal is off to a 3-0 start, and they have an easy ACC schedule. They don't face Miami. They don't face Florida State. They don't face Clemson. They don't even face Georgia Tech, who walked Clemson off this weekend. Clemson is 0-2. They don't face Georgia Tech, Miami, Florida State, or Clemson. Their hardest game of the year is probably SMU, and that game's going to be in Berkeley in their final game of the year. They play Stanford, then they host SMU. Not Michigan State, Southern Methodist, pardon me. So their hardest game on their schedule is a home game to wrap up the season. The hardest environment that they're going to be going to on the road, again, not Florida State, not Miami, not Clemson. The hardest environment they're going to is Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech just fired Brent Pry over the weekend. The Hokies just fired their head coach. Let me just tell you. Oh, by the way, UCLA's Deshaun Foster also got fired over the weekend. So those are the first two college coaches fired. Didn't even make it to week four. It feels like Justin Wilcox has absolutely built something that is more than just buzz around Sagopolatele being this, you know, new freshman quarterback that everybody's excited about. And by the way, that guy uncorks NFL throws. His arm, absolutely gorgeous. That kick, capital P player. Unbelievable. Justin Wilcox has built something that is bigger than just the excitement provided by the freshman quarterback. Little friendly advice from Uncle Damon to you. Just keep an eye on the Golden Bears. I'm not saying they're about to run the table and go undefeated, but the California Golden Bears could go undefeated this year. It's not impossible to see the path. Go look at the schedule yourself. It's not impossible. Except, of course, it is the California Golden Bears, and every single California Golden Bear fan knows, as Bruce Jenkins is famous for saying, it always ends bad. If you're a California football fan, you know it always ends bad somehow, some way. So the chances of it ending undefeated and great are almost infinitesimal, if not zero, because it does always end bad. But what a nice start for Cal, and it looks like there's something there. This is what I wanted to click on right here. Symmetry Aloud says UCLA is going to go winless. I can't remember who it was, the person who was like, let me tell you, UCLA blowing up the Pac-12 so it can lose to New Mexico in front of 800 fans at the Rose Bowl is really quite a plan. How do you solve that? Why is UCLA so, why is Rutgers better than UCLA? How's that even possible? How is UCLA such an afterthought on the campus of UCLA? It's something else. Allen, Cal, number one public university. Here's the thing. You got a good football team, so you don't have to talk about that bullshit anymore. We ain't here playing school. We're playing football. I don't care how many elements Berkeley has put on the periodic table. Fuck your periodic table. Go to a Rose Bowl. Seriously. I was at the Lair of the Bear, which is a great, great, great time. This it was a getaway for Cal alum, which my wife is, and we went up there. And so somebody was talking about bragging about how many elements on the periodic table Cal has put on. Like, anybody gives a shit about that? Who cares? Who cares? Score touchdowns, bang cheerleaders. That's football. Niner Empire says, when is Mike Silver coming on the show to talk shop? You know what? You just reminded me. I should reach out to Mike Silver and invite him on the show sometime. Usually takes a couple weeks to coordinate with him. So yeah, I'd love to have Mike back on. Outside of my wife, that is the most excitable Cal alum you're going to find here in the Bay Area. Jillian is all fired up. And by all fired up, I mean falling asleep in third quarter of Cal games, but she's a mama too. She's busy. She has to pay for whatever the hell this is. Let's see what else we got cooking here on a Monday, a victory Monday. The San Francisco Giants dropped 2 of 3 to the Dodgers and were completely outclassed on Saturday and Sunday after winning dramatically on Friday night. I can tell you this. As disappointing as the last 48 hours of Giants baseball have been, Bryce Eldridge is being called up, whatever that's worth. The Giants' number one prospect, the 13th ranked prospect in the entirety of the minor leagues, is being called up. Unfortunately for Giants fans, that's not going to happen for him at home. He'll make his debut tonight in Arizona. It's a lot more hitterish in Arizona than it is, obviously, in downtown San Francisco. So maybe that is a good thing for Bryce, but it would have been cool if the fans got to see his debut at 24 Willie Mays Plaza. It's also unfortunate that the Giants didn't capitalize on a couple of Mets losses over the weekend to help them jockeying for this final wild card spot. So here's where it is. With 13 games remaining in the regular season, the Giants have just thrown the last Hail Mary that they've got. Bryce Eldridge is being called up. 13 games remaining. 1.5 back of the final wild card spot with the Mets, Diamondbacks, and Reds all circling each other. So beat the Diamondbacks, keep an eye out of town on the Mets and the Reds. And within the next 2 weeks, you're going to know whether or not the San Francisco Giants have stumbled and found themselves into the playoffs after all or not. I hope they make it. I really do. Give me a little playoff baseball. Why not? Why not? I like how everybody's in a good mood after the 49ers win. Symmetry Allowed says Arizona opens as a 1.5 favorite over the 49ers this weekend. Take the points. Put it on the money, honey. Bet Niners money line. Before you even bother taking those points. I think I saw enough out of Mac Jones to think this team will look an awful lot like the San Francisco 49ers next week, even with Mac Jones playing for Brock Purdy. So in Las Vegas, they're always looking for what's the difference. And, you know, obviously a backup quarterback is a difference, but I did not see much difference in the team that just played. Maybe the difference here now is purely based on competition. It will be harder to beat the Arizona Cardinals at home than it was the Saints in New Orleans. It will be. That's a better team with a better coach and a better quarterback and a better line. But it's still the Arizona Cardinals, who, God bless them, no matter how they're built, no matter how good or bad they are, they always figure out a way to give the Niners a headache in 1 of 2 games a year. So get to 3-0, San Francisco. That is the mission coming home for your first home game of the year. Our mission now takes us to today in history. Are you ready? We got it's not the most interesting day in history. There's not a lot that happened on September 15th historically, but I can tell you, happy birthday. We got a few significant actors, one significant director, a significant quarterback, all celebrating birthdays today. Happy birthday to Tommy Lee Jones, 79 years old. He's fantastic in everything he's in, except for that one trash-ass Batman movie where he played Two-Face. He was awful in that. You could see how cheap and rubbery his makeup was. I'm sure he got paid a lot of money, and he doesn't give a rip. 79, Tommy Lee Jones. 79, Oliver Stone. There's a prolific director of our lives, right? Oliver Stone is 79. Don't get him a pair of isotoners. He's got plenty. Einhorn. Was it Finkelstein? Is Einhorn? Einhorn. Dan Marino, 64 years old today. Dan Marino is 64 years old. And I promise he still got the fastest release in the NFL if he had to throw a football today. Jimmy Carr. British comedian Jimmy Carr. He always wears a three-piece suit. He looks like he's going to be prim and proper. And then he's one of the more shocking, offensive comedians out there. I think the guy's pretty brilliant. Jimmy Carr is 53 years old today. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Happy 48th birthday to Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy is now 48 years old, and he was born in the dark, born into it. By the way, Damon Bruce is not Sports Bane. Just want to make that perfectly clear. We just wanted to celebrate Tom Hardy properly here today. Happy 48th birthday to Tom Hardy.
What just happened? Now, maybe here's more one the speed of the Damon Bruce show. Happy 44th birthday to Ben Schwartz. You probably don't know who Ben Schwartz is unless I tell you he played the character of Jean Ralphio in Parks and Rec. I don't even know what else he's been in, but I think Ben Schwartz is funny. I thought Jean Ralphio was funny. I thought Parks and Rec was fantastic. I love Parks and Rec. Happy 44th birthday to Jean Ralphio, Ben Schwartz. Happy 41st birthday to Prince Henry. You are one of the least liked monarchs ever. Nobody likes your wife. You don't like the family you've come from. It's weird. It's really Prince Henry, or excuse me, Harry. It's weird what you've done. I don't know about you. You're a little squirrely. So today, in 1916, it's World War I. Imagine being a guy, you know, what did they call them? Doughboys. So you're a doughboy. You are dressed for World War I. You're wearing an all cotton outfit that is weighed down by, you know, 50 pounds of water weight and sweat and your own urine, because trench warfare is freaking terrifying. And today in 1916, there you are with your, you know, bolt action rifle. And today you start battling tanks. Happy birthday, tanks. The tank was used for the first time in combat by the British during World War I. Happy birthday, tanks. Tanks a lot. Today in 1949. Hi-Oh, Silver, and Away, The Lone Ranger premiered on ABC. The Lone Ranger was a really big deal for a long time. Today in 1971, pardon me, just one more question. Columbo, Peter Falk, debuted today in 1971. Today in 1979. Muhammad Ali won the World Heavyweight Championship for the third time with his victory over Leon Spinks. Three-time champion Muhammad Ali today, 1979, over Leon Spinks. Today in 1980. Now, here's a show that we were talking about a year ago together here in the Plus. Because was it Netflix that had Shogun? The modern Shogun? Shogun was fantastic. Or I don't know if they did that on FX. I don't know where they put that. But Shogun, the TV show that just came out a couple years ago, really, really good. That was based off an old book that in 1980 inspired Shogun, the TV miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. That began on NBC in 1980, and Shogun was a massive television event. This is when like the concept of the miniseries was brand new. They did Roots, and then they did Shogun, and then there was something like the Songbirds or Yard, something, and I don't know. But this was early 80s, the miniseries, the concept of something bingeable, you know, gripped television like never before. And I would absolutely agree with you, Irwin. The new Shogun was fantastic. Really, really good. I'm telling you, the old Shogun was pretty good too. That's it. I'm done. I got nothing but grain left in there. Look at that. It's a good thing we're almost done with history. Today, in 1982, the world got a little bit more easy to understand with usable graphics, but we all got a little dumber when USA Today officially debuted. The first USA Today, published by Gannett, it hit the newsstands and newspaper machines for the first time ever today. It started hitting your courtesy Holiday Inn newspaper delivered to your door today in 1982. Again, USA Today was like a newspaper for people who are idiots and don't actually just want to read the newspaper. You need to have a TV newspaper. The best thing about the USA Today, to this day, remains the Monday after Selection Sunday, and they have the big NCAA pullout of all the teams that are going to the tournament. That's the best thing that USA Today does to this day. Today in 1984, The Muppet Babies premiered on CBS. Did you know that the woman who was in charge of the Muppet Babies was Betty White? That was Betty White's voice. That's why you liked it so much. It was so reassuring and calming and friendly. So there you go. Adam Warlock says, is that a Fuck John Fisher shirt? Oh, it sure is. And we're actually going to wrap up the show with him in just a second. There's a reason why I wore this today. But I'll also tell you that today in 2004, the National Hockey League lockout began. They canceled the entire 2004-05 season. Not enough people, I think, even noticed. Hockey was like, we better get back before we're just totally forgotten. Today is National Double Cheeseburger Day. That means it's a good double cheeseburger. That means it's a thin patty that gets seared on the flat top grill. I'm not talking about a grilled cheeseburger. Today is double cheeseburger day. You know, I'm not here to just look past the single cheeseburger. I'm not, but who doesn't want a double cheeseburger? I love one of them sloppy, juicy, greasy. Give me the beeps. Give me a beeps. Double cheeseburger. As a matter of fact, now that I've said it out loud, I might have to get my fat ass over to Beeps today. Or order a sandwich from Mike's, since he is the biggest sponsor of today's show. But he knows what I mean when it comes time for a greasy cheeseburger. You got to go find one of those. I wore the last Dive Bar FJF shirt today because of what happened in Sacramento over the weekend. So Hudson, Mulder, and Zito were brought out there to be honored in a pregame ceremony. There's no way that there were 800 people at this ceremony. which apparently was poorly produced, poorly hosted. And then in the middle of Mark Mulder's thoughts or speech, a fire alarm goes off and they don't figure out how to turn it off. And they cut Mark Mulder's microphone and the whole on-field ceremony just disintegrated and they didn't even bother continuing it or finishing it. Like, it's a disaster. Everything about the A's as an organization, but for the players themselves that are out there giving their best effort, everything that is involved in management, ownership, marketing, all of it, is a disaster of the first degree. And you know what, Las Vegas, you want it, you can have it. You cannot get these fucking bums out of the state of California fast enough. Goodbye. Goodbye. John Fisher is among the worst human beings to ever be granted the right or the access or the ability to be a professional sports owner. You know, he ain't quite Marge shot card carrying racist, but he's as big of a cheap screw as Marge ever was. So fuck them both, but mostly John Fisher. And there is your show on a Victory Monday. Niners got it done with Mac Jones, who looked really good getting it done on the road. Honestly, I want to go back and look again at that fumble that they say he dropped. I thought that was a forward pass. I thought his hand was coming forward. I need to be promoted from YouTube guy to official replay official back in Secaucus for the NFL. I judge these replays better, faster, and more accurately than professional replay officials do. This is my calling in life. Uncle Boys and Lumpia. Yeah, we'll give them some love as well. I want to thank all of you for watching today. Thank you so very, very much for being here. Hit like and subscribe again. So honored that we went over 47,000 subs over the weekend. Now we're on our way to 50. Help me get there. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy about Damon Bruce Plus. As long as they're a sports fan who doesn't want to come into a chat and just troll everybody, they are more than welcome to stop on by here. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for watching. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's...